Because the Constitution calls for it. All right. That's one example. The other three examples are similar. And I don't have time in the show to go over them. You can look them up. I'll be posting an article. By the way, all the articles on Scalia, some new stuff that's come up, and on the Supreme Court will be under, as they were last year, Constitution. Even if you don't listen to the show last week, go read the articles, folks. Go read the articles. All right. Now I'm going to switch directions here. I hope you get how critical this Supreme Court deal is, and I hope you understand even more so why the motive might have been so high to remove Scalia, particularly Scalia, the backbone of the conservative part of that court in this last year of Obama's presidency, with all these pressing matters that have been voted on that are now 4-4, his vote doesn't count anymore, and the pressing matters coming before the court, including immigration. The key, folks, to transforming a country, you must transform its demographics, its culture, its value, and its language to really transform a country. And the only way you can do that is to bring folks in from the outside. We call that illegal immigration. And that executive order is before this court. All right. So I told you, this is my little tidbit about Barry this week. I told you that this was 2 weeks ago. Then the midst of this huge oil downturn, hundreds of thousands of people losing their jobs, a number of states severely impacted, including Wyoming, by the way, and the Dakotas, etc., that Barry has now come up with a grand plan to tax every barrel of oil by $10. Now, right now, oil is about $30 a barrel. I think it was $31.96 yesterday, Friday, the day before the show. So we're talking about a 25% tax, which, of course, is going to get passed on to the consumers. Now, this is the guy who tells you how concerned he is about the everyday people. We've talked about this a million times. He couldn't care less. Because, here's a big slip-up, you know, they always do this. The elephant steps on its patootie. Jeff Zients, Z-I-E-N-T-S, he's the director of the White House National Economic Council. And just as competent as Susan Rice is as the head of the National Security Council. Quote, push back against assertions the oil tax would place U.S. crude producers at a disadvantage. He told reporters on a call that the fee would be applied to domestically produced and imported barrels of oil, but not to crude exported from the United States. Think about that. If the oil companies are exporting crude or petroleum-based products abroad, this tax would not apply. This tax would only apply to everything that's brought in or produced in and stays in the United States, i.e. what you put in your car and your truck and your home and your furnace and your stove. In other words, guess who's paying the tax? Not the fossil fuel consumption folks around the world who are using this oil, but you, the American middle class that he's so concerned about. I thought that was very telling. All right, for the last part of my show, I'm actually going to get this one done on time. The radio shows are going to like fall over, you know, who knows. All right. You've heard stuff about the minimum wage. By the way, this is something else that's going to go to the Supreme Court. I just can't emphasize to you how critical the Supreme Court thing is and how my suspicions are so high. The more I get into this, the higher my suspicions go. The more I don't hear anything about it just a week after the passing of this man, the more my suspicions get heightened. Listen to my show last week. So this is some really interesting stats because, you know, Bernie Sanders is talking about the $15 national minimum wage and Hillary Clinton's talking about the $15 national minimum wage and Barack Obama's talking about the... Here's some stat. This is real life stuff. This is not crap to get votes at the expense of the economy that they really don't care about anyway because they don't like America to begin with. And because they really don't care how you do economically or whether you have a job. In fact, the worse you do and the fewer of us that have a job, the more dependent we are on the government and the more power they have. And that's what they really like. That makes their morning Cheerios. So as you know, there's several locations in the country, all lefty locations, that have passed minimum wage hikes. They're mostly cities, Los Angeles and Seattle and Oakland and San Francisco and Chicago. You know, all the liberal bastions and sanctuary cities, I might add. Well, here's what's happened. This is the real deal, folks. Number one, all these cities have lost businesses because of the hike in the minimum wage. In fact, several huge Walmart left Oakland. Walmart decided not to build any more stores in Oakland or Los Angeles and scrapped two plans for stores in low-income areas of Washington, D.C., which also adopted this minimum wage vote-getting, anti-economic, anti-capitalist, achieve exactly the opposite result nonsense. So the data is now in. This is really interesting. From Washington, D.C., it's confined to the city limits. It's probably the best of all the data. The job gains that had been going in that capital city of this country absolutely stopped in 2015, a few months after the minimum wage was mandatorily hiked. And these guys studied the leisure and hospitality industries because that's where your minimum wage jobs are. You know, maids, bartenders, waiters, it's that whole nine yards. So they focused on that industry. In Washington, D.C., which had been growing rapidly in that sector of employment, it stopped. And there was a drop from the 3% annual job gains in 2014 to zero. To zero. And the city has a 6.6% unemployment rate by government statistics, so that's a pretty big deal. In Chicago, after implementing the minimum wage, the growth in leisure and hospitality sector jobs dropped to 2009 levels. It had been growing really good. And it dropped at the end of 2015 to levels which are one half of what they were in 2014 before the minimum wage. And by the way, their minimum wage went to $10. It's going to go to $10.50 on July 1 and to $13 by 2019. What do you think the result's going to be, folks? The leisure and hospitality sector job growth in the Bay Area, you know, San Francisco, Nancy Pelosi's stopping grounds, that slumped to a five-year low after San Francisco and Oakland adopted a citywide minimum wage of $12.25 an hour. That was just last spring, by the way. Five-year low. They adopted it and dropped to a five-year low. And the gains in employment and leisure jobs went down to 2.5% in the fourth quarter of 2015 from 4.7% average in the same quarter in the years prior. Just about a 50% drop. I mean, do you see a pattern here? It's all about the same in every one of these cities in widely divergent areas of the United States with widely divergent markets, I might add. Oakland's minimum wage went to $12.55 at the start of 2016. San Francisco's goes to $13 in July. What do you think is going to happen? Los Angeles. Los Angeles hotel workers, leisure, entertainment, they got the biggest minimum wage in the whole country. But their employment actually decreased by 0.8% after that went into place. And by the way, that mandate, you're going to love this. So the Los Angeles City Council, you know, that that very conservative bastion, they went further. They mandated that hotels with at least 300 rooms would have to start paying their workers $15.37 an hour starting last July 2015. $15.37 an hour will also apply as of this coming July to all hotels that go up to 150 rooms. Anyway, they saw the same or bigger precipitous drops in both the growth of employment in entertainment and leisure, and LA is a big entertainment and leisure area, folks. The same drops in the growth of employment and the same really precipitous drops in overall employment in that industry. What does that tell you? That tells you that if you raise a business's costs, they are either going to move and you're going to lose the business and therefore any and all jobs the business could have generated, or it's going to stay there and it's going to adjust its thinking. It's going to automate. It's going to hire less people. It's going to give people less hours. It's just the way it is. And the Democrats will never, the progressives will never tell you that. All right. My last little thing. God, I'm actually on time here today. Hoo-hoo! You can hear everybody applauding at the radio stations. This is the first time I've seen my producer smiling in 3 weeks. There's one other thing, by the way, which kind of gives you two quick things. And this is on, I've been warning you about this economy. Do not be fooled by the fact this market went up this last week. There are a lot of anomalies that created that. I'm not going to go into them with you. We don't have time. I may do a segment on it next week or the week after. I still have the segment to do on the funneling of federal dollars to MAS, who are then giving it to terrorist organizations, which I've promised for a month now. Just been too much news to handle. Walmart, as you know, is the nation's largest employer, folks. And Walmart sells just about everything to just about everybody. I mean, it's probably one of the best bellwethers of how this economy is doing that exists. You probably couldn't find a better one that cuts across all income segments, all parts of the country, you know, all sorts of locations, urban and suburban and rural. And let me tell you, this is pretty interesting. 260 million people shop at Walmart each week. 8% of every U.S. dollar is spent at Walmart. 90% of Americans live within 15 miles of a store. You think it's a pretty good economic indicator? You know, forget all these sophisticated models that all these guys, these economists and all these morons have. Back in October, Walmart reported terrible earnings, way less than projected, and reduced guidance, that is, projections for the upcoming year. Last week, this is actually now 10 days ago, give or take, Walmart did its required reporting, and guess what? Walmart missed its estimates, which were way down from last year, for revenue and for earnings per share, which was down 7.5%, which, by the way, is huge, folks. 7.5% is a huge drop in earnings per share. So revenues have now been downgraded to flat from the earlier expected kind of 3-4% up this year. Walmart is now reporting increased employee expenses. Remember, I was just talking about the minimum wage and why they are now not opening stores in those markets. But just like you saw in those cities and in the overall entertainment and leisure industries, guess what's happening to the total hours for Walmart workers? They're going down. And they're going down by almost exactly what the increase in average hourly wages has risen. It's simple economics. All right. So, Walmart is closing 270 stores. I talked about this a little bit about a month ago. 154 in the United States, the rest kind of, you know, should we say on the fringes, Canada, etc. But for the same reasons. 154 stores. You know how many jobs that is? Think about how many people work at a Walmart store. Anyway, this does not portend a great economy or a great coming economy. So again, let me wave that big red flag in front of you and say, be nimble, be wary, and be prepared, as one of my newsletters that I read always ends with. And then here's one other economic indicator, which is very important and you can't argue with. I mean, Walmart, you could say, oh, it's bad management. I mean, I suppose, although it'd be difficult. But this one you can't argue with. The annual rate of change in withholding taxes. You know, how many people are working, how much taxes are taken out, which is a function of how much people are getting paid, has shifted from positive to negative. And has grown increasingly negative, particularly if you adjust it for inflation, which is pretty minimal right now, for the last several months. It began in December, and it's accelerating. This particular economist thinks it signals that we have now entered a recession. I'm not an economist. I'm not going to go into the weeds. I can tell you that withholding taxes, which is one of the few numbers you can really trust from the government, because, you know, they like to tell you about their revenues. When they start going down, that's a real clear indicator something's really wrong. Businesses aren't hiring. Businesses are laying off. Businesses are cutting hours. Businesses are cutting pay. Because it's all that income to workers of any level is what drives payroll taxes. This is the most negative growth rate since 2008 when we had the big downturn. And it's the longest stretch of zero growth in a number of years. So, it's another canary in the coal mine. I hope you enjoyed the show. I was going to read to you a little bit more. I've been trying to do this for a month from this great article, The Left's Endgame Hits the Wall by American Thinker. I will save that for next week. I've read you a few excerpts. Great article. But in the meantime, guys and girls, write your senators, write your congressmen, hold the line, and take the necessary steps using your noggins to protect yourself financially from what seems to be evolving. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal. Oh, and by the way, vote. Whoever you vote for, get out there and participate. This is it. There are no tomorrows. If the liberal or progressive, that's what they are, wins the White House, I don't know. We could be done. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the right side, and I will talk to you next week. Have a safe and happy Saturday and the rest of the week, too.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.